And where does something like deja vu fit into all of this? Diane, we're going to be back with you in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. Diane, what about deja vu? What do you think of that? What do you think it is?
Well, deja vu is the sense that you have experienced something before, been there before. It's usually a general sense. It's not real specific. And it's something that I think most of us experience at one time or another. There are people who have something going on, like epilepsy or something going on in their temporal lobe, and they can have deja vu experiences on a frequent basis. That's different from, I mentioned future memory when we had to stop, and future memory is actually, it's as though you literally visited the future, took time out from right now, just took like a split second, visited the future, saw everything and that was going to happen in very specific detail, and then when the future happens, you know exactly what's going to. And it has a very characteristic sort of onset of, you know, various feelings that people have that go along with that. I mean, as you can imagine, that the first time it happens to someone, it's pretty disorienting.
Sure.
What fascinates me about it is, as I mentioned earlier, it can be something that's inherited, but it also can be brought on by nitrous oxide, which is something that activates the limbic system and is also something that causes people to have out-of-body experiences.
Well, does it? I don't know.
Yeah, it's not at the dosage that they give you at the dentist office.
No.
But actually, that's William James was playing around with laughing gas, and that's what changed his view of consciousness, having those out-of-body experiences.
Interesting.
Yeah. And so future memory, what I've always found interesting about it is that in some reports, people, when they find themselves in the future, they are able to alter the course of events in some way, you know, that not step in front of the bus or you know, whatever. And sometimes they're not able to. And so that whole question of, you know, if you can see the future, does that mean the future is fixed?
Or can it be altered?
It appears like it's you know, some things are fixed, but then there's wiggle room.
All right, to the phones again we go. Allie is with us in Los Angeles. Hello, Allie.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Sure thing.
I have a question. I'm a painter and kind of experienced clairaudient abilities, but when I go into that state, especially when I'm in a painting state, I notice that I do some physical symptoms that come with it. One of my pupils gets really enlarged,
and then I
get a tingling in the ear, and some of the information that comes out through my work is really stirs a lot of emotion. I went over to Sweden, and this woman was crying when she saw my work, and she was telling me, you need to get over to Egypt because I draw this Birdman character that even before I knew what Osiris was or anything like that. But basically the question is the physical stuff that comes through when I'm in this state of receiving information through with artwork.
Yeah, well, art is one of the ways, doing things, that's a very right brain activity. And so doing things that activate your right brain will increase, you know, those kinds of experiences. That's one of the things that I've noticed for myself. If I'm doing a lot of reading, which is more of a left brain activity, I'll have fewer of those experiences. But if I'm also an artist, and if I'm doing more art, then I'll have more experiences of that are sort of ESP type experiences.
Yeah, when the creativity is coming out, it definitely.
Right.
I feel that's when I get more of, like, you know, I did a painting the night that my friend actually took her life, and I did the painting about 6 hours before it happened of a Birdman taking a girl away, and I was in hysterics trying to get a hold of somebody, And I just had, you know, it was just one of those awful feelings. And then I found out she took her life about 6 hours before that. But I was getting the pupil dilation. I was getting the buzzing in the air. And I was painting feverishly. And it was just, you know.
Yeah. But do you know which pupil was dilated, the left
it's
or the right?
It's actually the left, which is interesting because I know you kind of receive it to the right, but I've been told you kind of transmit it through the left. I don't know if that's correct, but
the right brain is the right brain controls the left side of the body.
Oh, okay. That would make sense. Yeah, it's my I've gone and gotten eye tests, everything, nothing's diagnosed. But
it sounds like you're because we really do I'm familiar with the split brain experiments where they where people actually had the fibers that connect the left and the right brain to one another were severed, and that was done because these people had severe epilepsy that would spread from one side to the other, and then they would go unconscious. And so they discovered that these people had split brains, that each brain actually has a different way of seeing the world and, you know, slightly different kind of personality. And the right side of the brain is much more creative, emotional, intuitive. So it sounds like, you know, for you, it's like you just really, you know, when you're doing your artwork, you know, part of what's happening is you're just getting so emotional in that eye getting larger, you know, the people getting larger is part of that. Plus, you're also getting all of this information that it's like the crisis telepathy that I was talking about with somebody earlier. That's the type of situation in which we're more apt to have those experiences as well. And I think that telepathy, crisis telepathy, has some sort of adaptive, you know, evolutionary adaptive value, you know, so that those whom we love or care about, you know, we have a sense, if we're tuned in, we have a sense of when something's not right.
Diane, if we all have these psychic abilities, why is it that some people are more tuned in than others? Is it just, you know, fate? What does that?
Well, I mean, some of it is, as I said, it's what people believe. It's how people have been raised. If they've been raised that it's impossible, you know, or that it's woo-woo, or that it's wrong, then, you know, they won't have those type of experiences. It's certainly not as often. But there are also, as I pointed out earlier in this, that one gentleman illustrated having injury to the head, particularly to the left side of the head, can bring about, you know, some of these experiences.
Why the left side?
That's the side that is where most of our language is. That's the analytical, logical side. The right side of the brain is much more gestalt and emotional in its processing, more holistic, you know, creative.
All right. Let's go to Jerry in Lima, Ohio, way east of the Rockies. Hello, Jerry.
Hello, George. How are you doing today?
Okay, Jerry. Good.
Hey, I think she just answered my question because I read an article a while back that the researcher said that, in his opinion, everybody was latent ESP and it just needed to be developed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's
well.
Funny. I agree.
Well, at least the other thing that he has a guest on his program, Major Ed Danes, that says he can teach anybody to remote view in a couple of 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm. I've heard people make claims like that. I can't really comment about whether or not somebody can do that or not. But
but we should all have the ability to do that.
Yeah, I really believe that that we all have these abilities, you know, within us, and that they are, you know, we inhibit them by all of the chatter that's in our heads, or by spending so much time, you know, doing analytical things or not paying attention. Once you start paying attention, or when you start quieting down your mind, then you start to notice all kinds of interesting things.
Do you find if a couple is been together for a long time, they basically develop ESP?
A lot of them do, especially if they really love each other, yes.
If they hate each other, no?
Not so much, yeah. If they hate each other, not so much.
No ESP if you don't get along, right?
It really helps if you get along, if you have a strong bond.
Let's go to Grand Rapids, Michigan. Jen's turn. Hey, Jen, go ahead.
Hi, guys. Thank you for taking my call. Diane, I have a question for you. I've just enjoyed the show tonight so much because there's so many things that apply to me. And I thought they were just kind of normal up until now. But I've had some instances that have not been real normal to me. For instance, we have a cottage up on Lake Michigan that we go up to in the winter. And went up there one night on a Friday night and went to bed because it was late at night. And during the night, somehow I woke up with a woman hovering over my bed. And she was dressed in black, and she was a big woman. And I could just feel a restlessness coming from her, and anxiety. And I reached over and tapped my husband and said, "Hey, Dan, do you see this?" And he goes, "No, honey, no. Just go back to sleep now, okay?" And I'm like, "No. There's this woman, and she's very ill at ease and has a lot of anxiety. I can't go back to sleep." Mm-hmm. And finally, after a while, I did. And the next morning, I got up and walked out on the deck that overlooked the lake, and there on our beach was a woman that had died and had drowned. And my husband went down and checked it out, and we ended up calling the police, but they had said she'd probably been shoved over from a freighter that went by. And
wow.
I know, and I've had so many situations like this, that this has happened to me. And there was one time I woke up, and there was a fire in a home through the woods behind us, and I called the fire department, and no one had called. And I woke up out of a dead sleep and just saw this and called and saved two people's lives from being burnt in the fire. And I don't know what it is. It doesn't scare me.
You must be a very compassionate person.
Well, I think I am, and I think I'm very sensitive sometimes. Not always, Diane, but there's times in my life that I feel very much at peace with myself and my life and God. And it's those times that these things happen to me.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
there's other times that, you know, there's so much going on in life that I don't even have time to breathe. But it's those times that I'm at peace that these things happen. And and in some ways, I just wonder, why me?
Well, don't be frightened by them.
I'm not. I'm honestly not. And that woman did not frighten me over our bed. And I was not surprised that my husband could not see her, because I've come to realize that this must be a gift of some kind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I've had other people who, if it happens on a regular basis, they learn how to help guide the spirit, because oftentimes what it is they're confused, is what I've heard mediums say, is that the spirits, after something like that happens, they're in a state of shock, and it's kind of like a person would be, and they're confused and coming to you. They're picking up on your compassion. That's why I said that I thought you were very compassionate.
So you're a believer in life after death, too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I am.
Let's go to Fairbanks, Alaska, west of the Rockies. Hey, Lee, thanks for calling.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay,
first
Lee.
Time caller.
Good. I'm glad you got through.
I guess there's
been several different experiences that I've had, but I'm able to actually predict future events. The last time that I did a major event was back on February 3rd in 2012, was that I said Obama was going to win, and that there was going to be a wave that hit the East Coast, and that something horrific was going to happen. The gun isn't the gun they say it is. And then at the end, it was on the air that I did this, and they asked me what else I see, and I said nothing but sand. And when the guy said, where'd that come from? And the most recent one was North Korea. Before Kim Jong-un came out at the basketball game, and I kept telling people that we're going to be going to war.
Well, you may be right there.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's going to happen, and it's going to happen at the beginning of the year. We're going to see World War III happen.
Well, it's a prediction I hope doesn't come true.
Yeah,
but it's possible.
I hope it doesn't come true myself.
I mean, there's a lot of tension out that way.
Yeah.
So what's new for you? What do you do next?
What do I do next?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm interested in evaluating more of these autistic savants, particularly the ones who have knowledge that they that there's just no way that they would know. You know, there's Daryl Trefford, this person I mentioned earlier, who's written about and studied autistic savants for 50 years. He and I have talked about collaborating, and so I'm very interested in seeing what they're able to do, because I have hypotheses that I want to test out. I want to get a better sense of how they actually do process information, and I just think that it's a really, you know, rich area, you know, and feel privileged to be able to do that.
Do they come to you? How do you find them?
Well, sometimes they come to me, and sometimes, I'd say sometimes they come to me, and then in this case, I'll be evaluating some people who contacted Daryl. And so it's amazing. People come to you, though, who are meant to come to you. I mean, I have found that over and over again.
That's like life, isn't it?
Oh, I as a psychiatrist in San Diego, it was funny because I had changed offices three or four times, and because I was in practice for over 15 years, and I wasn't in the Yellow Pages for the last 10 years. I was in practice there because I didn't want the extra business. I had as much as I wanted. And so anyway, so I had this person who came to see me, and I asked him, how did he find me? And he said, well, I found you in the Yellow Pages. And I said, well, I haven't been in the Yellow Pages for 8 years at that point. And he said, well, it was an old phone book. And I said, but that was an old address, and they don't forward the number. He goes, I know. I just knew that I was meant to work with you. And so he went and contacted the medical society and found out.
And that was the way to do it. We're going to come back, Diane. We're going to take final phone calls with you in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. On our next Coast to Coast program, of course, forbidden archaeology expert Michael Cremo joins us. Make sure you're part of that on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Diane Hennessy Powell with us. Well, you'll take your final questions as well. How did, with your emphasis now on the savants, where do you think this will take you and take your career?
Well, see, I really think that this is the window into getting scientific receptivity, because people, as I mentioned earlier, people in science recognize that the savants do have these abilities. They're able to repeat them reliably. They also are, you know, very interesting, you know, to study in terms of what they tell us about consciousness, as I said, because they don't distort things. you know, and you know, through, you know, their lens of what they expect to see. And so I think we can earn, we can learn tremendous amount from them. And actually, a lot of the savants can be a real resource for us. One of the savants I evaluated in India, he's 8 years old, and his passion is physics and wanting to solve a lot of the major the problems that we have today. You know, things like energy and radioactivity and those sorts of things. So I'm really interested in getting them support for what they do, but also for helping to expand our understanding of what people can do, what human consciousness is capable of doing. And I don't see as much resistance to that. So it's kind of like going in through the back door.
Okay, let's take the final calls here. We'll go next to Traverse City, Michigan. Sonia's with us. Hey there. Welcome to the show.
Hi, George. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm so excited to speak to you. And Diane, nice to awesome program tonight. And talking about synchronicity, I'm telling you, it sure is happening tonight, because I was trying to get in with a numbers lady, and I was going to ask her about this number that keeps coming up, which I always wake up at 3:33 a.m., and lo and behold, that's the time
she wakes up. That's right.
Oh, my goodness. And I said, oh, my goodness, I can't believe this. And then this caller that just called from Weslaco, Texas, my goodness, that's where I was born, in Weslaco, Texas. And I live in Traverse City, Michigan. I got chills all over my body. Well, I do have a synchronicity. I don't know what it is, but lately it's been getting really, really intense, that there's too much information coming into my mind, and it's kind of scaring the heck out of my husband, because I keep predicting earthquakes. I keep predicting deaths, and it's just getting kind of scary. And I was wondering if you could help me on that. Why is it that I do all these things? And also, I've been writing poetry and speed writing, and he looks at me and he's like, "What is going on?" I said, "I have no idea. My hand just goes by itself."
Huh? Automatic writing.
And,
yeah.
Automatic, just speed writing. As a matter of fact, and it all got intense after my mother passed away in 1999, and I was going to Texas on the bus, and I speed wrote a poem. I sent it into the New York Alliance, and I was poet of the year for 1999. I've never written a thing in my life.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, oh, my God, what is going on? And ever since then, I have like 400 poems. I wake up in the middle of the night and speed write them. And in the morning, I read them, and they all rhyme. All of them rhyme, every single one of them. And I don't even make them up. And it's just crazy. And I'm scaring the hell out of my husband, that's for sure, because I just told him the other day something, that somebody was going to die. And all of a sudden, it comes on the TV, and lo and behold, oh, my goodness. And he's like, what is going on with you? I said, I have no idea. I don't know, and it's scaring me, too, actually.
Uh-huh. What are you scared of?
I have a lot of poetry that it has to do with God and the end times. Mm-hmm. And those are the ones that scare the heck out of me, because I see them in my mind. I see that it is true, because I'm a God-fearing person. I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus and Bible. And these are messages that he's giving me, and they just scare the heck out of me.
Well, are you glad you have this ability?
I am glad, because I've helped a lot of people who are grieving, and a lot of people who are sad. I go to the grocery store, and the ladies look for me. Where's Sonia? Where's Sonia? Read my mind, or could you tell me what's going on? And as a matter of fact, it happened to me the other day. I went to the Mexican store, and this lady was there, and I read her mind, and I even told her she had a baby boy in her belly. And she's like, if somebody's been telling this girl that I'm going to have a baby boy. And the other girl said, no, we haven't, this is the first time I've seen you. I said, so I touched her. And she was going to faint on me, and I'm just like, I'm just I'm just, I don't know what's going on.
All right, well, let's get your reaction to this, Diane, and wrap up with some other calls. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm curious, so you didn't experience any of this before your mother's passing?
Before my mother's passing, yes, I did experience it, but it got more intense after my mother passed away because I was diagnosed as being bipolar and manic depressant. And even my psychologist, I go over there and I read her mind, and she's like, hello, I'm supposed to help you, not you help me. Mm-hmm. So it did get more intense.
Yeah. Well, bipolar disorder, I mean, I hate psychiatric labels, but, you know, when people are in the manic phase of bipolar disorder, they have increased synchronicities, they have increased psychic abilities. It's one of the states that increases those. And so then when you stop, you know, when it has time limit, I mean, it won't go on forever, you know, so it'll pass if you find it too intense. I mean, it eventually will pass. But
maybe she doesn't want it.
Yeah, it depends upon whether you want it to pass or not. But being afraid of it I really think that fear is not it's not a healthy, you know, sort of emotion to, you know, to have in response to these things. You know, I see them as being, you know, signs of, you know, signs that there is a higher order, you know, that there is, you know, something more than meets the eye. As you said, you know, God, you know, that so I see, so even though that the content's scary, it puts you in a position to actually help people.
All right, back to the call. Stella's in San Antonio, Texas. Hi, Stella. Go ahead.
Hi, George.
Hello.
Hi, Diane.
Hi.
I'm so happy to be speaking with you, and it's such a good show tonight. I have a couple of questions. First of all, I have been pretty much intuitive since I've had a feeling that I'm intuitive since I was a child. A certain degree, at least, just kind of like, for example, knowing that I would win certain contests in elementary or middle school. That's the best example I could think of, you know, like drawings, you know, like if it's like a raffle. Mm-hmm. But it happens sporadically. I never know when it's going to come on or when it's going to hit me. And it continued as I got older. And, along with like strong surges of creativity, mm-hmm. and vivid, very vivid imagination. Although I feel like I'm very left-brained as well, I guess, because my strong suit is writing, communication, and that's what I have my degree in, writing and communication. Mm-hmm. And I was basically wondering, is there anything that I can do to encourage the intuition and bring it out? And also, is there anything that could possibly be suppressing it? Because it happens so sporadically. It happens around every month.
Yeah, so I'm wondering if what you're experiencing, because you said that you're a writer, and mm-hmm. I've noticed for myself that when I spend more time writing and reading, that I have fewer of those kinds of experiences. It depends upon how I'm writing or reading. You know, if I'm allowing time to pause, to, you know, to allow information to enter in, then that's different. But if you're just reading and concentrating on what you're reading or concentrating on what you're writing, then it could be the reason why it's sporadic for you. So doing things that activate your right brain, you know, your right hemisphere, things like art, or things that, you know, are dance, you know, things that involve, you know, visual spatial would be good. But also, I find that practice with appropriate feedback is really very helpful. And that's where, you know, having some way in which you can get feedback about your intuition so that you can finally tune it.
Don't you also find, Diane, that by not forcing it, it happens more often?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think that when people force it, I actually wonder whether or not what they do is they're actually using, they're not using the right side of their brain. They're actually using their left side of their brain when they're trying to force something. And I think that's what happens sometimes to people who are put on the spot or who are professional psychics. I think that they unintentionally do that.
Let's go to Bill in West Columbia, South Carolina. Hey, Bill, go ahead.
I'll be very fast. I don't want to run out of time. A friend of mine I known for 25 years lived in Lake City, Florida. Mm-hmm. 3-4 years ago, I went down to see him, and a friend of his, he says, let's go over and see my friend's car collection. So we went over. It was a big pole barn, and we started looking. It wasn't the second vehicle. I knew every word that my friend was going to say. Not only what he was going to say, but what his friend was going to say, too.
Uh-huh.
I was going to say something to my friend that, like, hey, I know what you're saying, but then I didn't want to say nothing to see if it would go on, and it went on the entire time until we looked at all the cars and the motorcycle again.
Huh. Is that the only time that's ever happened to you?
No, I had a telepathic message. I was on Coast to Coast about 6-7 years ago where I knew my motorcycle was going to get stolen before it got stolen.
Uh-huh.
I've been a lot of things. I've had things where I knew I was going to see people at a grocery store. I just think about, like, a girl named Joanne. I walk around the corner, two more aisles. There she is.
There's Joanne, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was Joanne.
I think there's a mechanism within our system, I think, Diane, that makes this happen.
Mm-hmm.
Probably it's very, very natural.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it is. I think it is very natural, and I think that we tune it out. But I think that, you know, for example, you know, Rupert Sheldrake's work on animals, I mean, I think they don't tune it out. But we do.
Let's go to Donna in Chandler, Arizona. Hey, Donna, go ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
For years and years, I've had a dream about a hamburger restaurant. And this hamburger restaurant was down the street from Disneyland on Harbor Boulevard. I did live in Anaheim for 4 years. This hamburger place didn't really exist. It only exists in my dreams. And for years, I have been trying to program my mind to walk up to a human being in the dream and ask, do you know of this hamburger place?
But now, why is this hamburger place so significant to you?
I don't know.
Hmm.
And I finally did it.
Oh, you finally went up and asked somebody in your dream?
I asked a young gentleman. He had dark hair. I could picture his face today. And he said it was called The Castle. Now, there is a hotel across the street from Disneyland, The Castle Hotel. Mm-hmm. But no, this was a hamburger place.
I wonder if there's a hamburger place in the hotel.
I don't know, but also in the same dream, Disneyland is very, very close to the ocean, where if you've ever been there, it's 5 cities away, you know.
Uh-huh.
So did I reach like a higher consciousness because I was able to work through that and approach somebody and ask a question in a dream?
Yeah, I would say that's a breakthrough in terms of being able to. I mean, were you aware that it was a dream? I mean, was it lucid dream?
Like a lucid dream, yeah.
Yeah, I knew I had to go ask this person because I've been wondering forever.
Uh huh. Uh huh. Yeah, but you knew it was a dream when it was happening?
I don't know.
You don't know. Well, yeah, I wonder if you did, and that's a really good thing to develop, you know, that ability to know when you're in a dream that, oh, this is a dream, because then you can become a director, and you can,
well,
you can
also
do,
very
do
shortly,
all kinds of things in your
dream. I called a friend. I dreamed they broke up. I called a friend to confirm, you know, see what was going on. Everything's great. Having an 8-year anniversary. 2 days later, she packed up and moved out.
So, you know.
Well, maybe one day something's going to happen and this hamburger place will come to roost.
Well, it's sounding like the global warming with Disneyland being so close to the ocean instead of five cities inland.
You never know. Anyways, Diane, we are out of time. Thank you. The ESP Enigma, the book, still available?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, good for you, and keep doing what you're doing, okay?
Okay. Thank you very much.
Now, don't forget, on our next program at Coast to Coast AM, Michael Cremo will be with us, as he talks about his latest work of forbidden archaeology. He's the one who believes that humankind might be hundreds of millions of years old, and he backs it up with some incredible stories. So we'll be doing that. And then on Thursday, investigative reporter Linda Moulton Howe joins us. So make sure you're part of that program as well. If you need to email me, george@coasttocoastam.com. Tonight, that's another one for the record books. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Lottasour, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, George Knapp, John B. Wells, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, we'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everybody.